You may be seated. We turn now to Job chapter 5 for the second half of Eliphaz's speech. Job chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee, and thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right. Like we said the last time, so we say again, there are some things that are materially true that Eliphaz says. He is a man that knows the Lord. We get that. That's okay. But here, notice that he has gotten himself, as we said last hour, perhaps in a place of impatience with Job. Perhaps he has become exasperated with him. Something has turned his mind toward Job in such a way that now he speaks, well, I don't know. If I were present in this conversation, there would have been a couple of times I would have, because of the fierceness of it. So notice what he says. First, call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? That is, what you're doing right now, Job, you don't have any example anywhere. All of God's holy ones, all of God's saints have never spoken like you're speaking here. And so he puts Job outside of the catalog of saints. That's the first thing that he does. Wrath killeth the foolish man, envy slayeth the silly one. I don't know which one it is, Job, but you're either wrathful or foolish. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. You should not be looking for comfort from us, Job. You should be looking for cursing to wake you up out of the doldrums of your sin. They have already decided the matter. They've heard Job speak. They have said that he is somehow, unbeknownst to them, a wicked sinner. And they have convicted him. And now they're telling him to take his lumps. What he says next, though, is horrid. Listen to verse 4. His children, that is, the children of the foolish man, the silly one, are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. That's perhaps a little too soon and a little too close. Job has lost his children, and he's still smarting from that. It has only been a week or so. And then, whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, the robber swalloweth up their substance. Again, a little too close and a little too soon. Remember that Job lost all of his cattle. He lost his crops. He lost his children. And he lost his wife's affection. So then, notice, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. This didn't come from nowhere, Job. Come on, you got to acknowledge. You have this coming. This stuff doesn't just rise up by itself. That's what's being said here. And so these first few verses are very strong against Job, and they are in their own right. We might even call them curses. As he said, I suddenly cursed his habitation. Well, to tell you that, you know, Job, you can't expect your kids to live if you're a fool. You can't expect your crops to bring forth if you're a fool. You can't expect your livestock to remain if you're a fool. Oh, this is what's happened to you? You should have expected it. It doesn't come up out of nowhere. Now we understand why, after a while, Job will say, miserable counselors are ye all. Right? That is, they are the bringers of misery, rather than sound counsel. All right, so then Eliphaz lifts up his speech. He lifts it up to speak more generally. And whenever he does that, we like it. When he stops dancing on Job's toes and lifts up and speaks generally, he can speak some things that are good and that we can make good use of. So notice what he says. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We know that. We know that about ourselves. We are conceived and born in sin. And so we know that we have come into this world for trouble's sake, and that the Lord uses such troubles on our behalf. So then he gives him his advice. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. What is Eliphaz forgetting here? That Job has done that already. What do you think Job was doing for those 7 days when they all sat in silence? Do you think Job was silent in his mind? Do you think that Job had not committed his case unto the Lord? Do you think a man that thought about his children having a good time and said, perhaps maybe they imbibed a little too much, perhaps they got a little bit out of sorts and cursed God secretly, I'll go ahead and offer for them. I'll go ahead and make an offering in my home for them. Would that man stop praying? Would that man not take his case to God? Well, I think to ask the question is to answer it. And so Eliphaz now belittles Job and says, I would take my case to God. And so he continues on in that superior kind of attitude. And then he says some wonderful things about what God does. As sovereign, as the ruler over all things, he gives rain. He lifts up those that are low. and that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappoints the devices of the crafty. He takes the wise in their own craftiness. I wonder if he's listening to his own speech here. They meet with darkness in the daytime. They grope at the noonday at night. Yep. He saves the poor from the sword, from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. Notice, that's quite a salvation there. From the sentence, from the infliction of foul words, as well as from their hand. So that the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. And then verse 17, something that we will read elsewhere in Scripture, that is indeed a sound truth that we can catch on to. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He will deliver thee in six troubles, in seven there shall no evil touch thee, and so on. Actually, what Eliphaz does here in chapter 5 is he writes the end of the book, doesn't he? But he doesn't see it upon Job at this point, because he has already convicted him in his mind. So then, all of these blessings that continue, you'll be at league with the beasts of the field, and so on. Thy tabernacle shall be in peace. Thou shalt know thy seed shall be great, and so on. And so then, in verse 27, he ends. And oh, what an ending it is. Lo this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know it thou for thy good. And so all three of his friends are united in this first speech of Eliphaz. Well, as we will see, Lord willing, next week, Job has a very interesting reaction to Eliphaz's speech. Your King James translators give you the first word of chapter 6, but Job said. And so begins then this back and forth between Job and the three friends, them accusing him of something that he is not guilty of, and himself accusing God for being unjust and treating him as he's being treated. Who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in all of this? Well, that's easy. The end of the book gives us that. Job is the good guy. The end of the book gives us that. He ends up being the intercessor for the three friends that spoke that which was not good. But is the intercessor in this point perfect? Is the intercessor here at this point in the story, is he upright in his actions? He's not. He needs some correction as well. And so if you can take something from the book of Job, take this. That when we look upon one another and we see suffering and affliction and so on, there are times when we are tempted to think, oh, I know that. I know why that came. I know why they're suffering like that. I remember when they fill in the blank, and now that's being visited upon them. Well, that would be to speak like Eliphaz. And yet, the lesson that Job learns here, by the time we get to chapter 40 and 42, will be such a lesson that Job himself would never go back and avoid it. The Lord so cares for his saint here that he is willing to take him, if you will, scrape him through the valley of the shadow of death for his sanctification. Job, while not guilty of any of the sins that he will be accused of by his three friends, indeed was guilty of losing his integrity toward God when he suffered. And so, what did the Lord for him then? He took him through until that was worked out of him. You've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. In chapter 40, the Lord will address Job and says, answer me. And Job says, how can I answer? I'm vile. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. That's it. I have no words. No more words from me. But then in chapter 42, the Lord speaks to him again, says, speak to me. And so Job says about himself, who is he that darkened counsel without knowledge? I've spoken things which I knew not. And if I can paraphrase and interpret this last section in chapter 42, what happens is Job says to God, okay, I said back in chapter 40, I'm not going to talk anymore. I said that. But I just got one more thing to say. One more thing to say. Just one more thing. And then I'll put my hand back on my mouth. Here's the one more thing that I had to say, God. Please don't ever stop talking to me. I won't talk to you. I won't backtalk anymore, but please, all that you have to say, give that to me. Now, it took us 39 chapters to get there, right? 39 chapters of the Lord's faithfulness. If we would have the attitude of Job, then let's read through this book and let's watch the man and let's hear him. Let's hear him vent his spleen, and let us also take counsel that we will acknowledge the good things that are said by his friends while condemning those things that are not so good. May the Lord grant us, which is often very difficult for us as people, may the Lord grant to us that we would be discerning, that we are able to take in something and to chew up the meat and to spit out the bone, because normally that's not us. Normally it's everything this way or everything that. May the Lord grant us that we would be discerning people, able to hear what Eliphaz says, to critique what needs to be critiqued, so that we might take a negative example not to be followed, and yet let us hear what he says that is true, that we might take a good example that is to be followed. And finally, let us remember this. Let us never be a miserable counselor to others. Eliphaz speaks again truly, and yet he is dancing upon the jagged edges of Job's soul at this point, as he has been torn through loss. And it seems to me that Eliphaz is completely oblivious. Okay. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue.